Blog Talk Radio.
Alright, folks, we're going to do this again. Tonight is Wednesday night. Refugees. It's all about the refugees, folks. Syrian refugees, Muslim refugees, Christian refugees. Refugees are the current problem. Well, I mean, it's our crisis right now, but why aren't these refugees going to Muslim countries? I don't understand why they were coming to countries that, typically don't relate, maybe. You would think if you were a refugee and you're in Syria, if you're in the Middle East already, wouldn't you go to a neighboring fellow Muslim nation? I think a person would. I know that if it were Christians, that they might find refuge in a Christian nation. I don't know if there are any over in the Middle East anymore. America might be the last holdout. But tonight we're going to talk about this, and you know, it kind of relates. It ties into something I've always been talking about, which is our immigration. You know, immigration, people think that when you talk immigration, really you're talking about Mexicans. And it's a little more than just Mexicans. Immigration, border security, these have been hot topics for a long time. And, you know, the general rule of thumb in this conversation is that we can only secure the border. We cannot do anything with the illegal immigrants who are here. Well, I would venture to say that if knowing what we know now, and it seems to be pretty evident, and it has been going on, but no one's really paid much attention to it in the past, but Syrian refugees here today, five Syrians were caught in Honduras with fake passports or trying to smuggle their way or get their way into the United States. Well, so there you have an issue. The first issue we come to is border security. Really, our border security might stop some of the obvious people trying to come across, but anyone who wants to come across and has a little money can cross. They're going to have people guide them across, and they're going to pay off people along the way, border agents on both sides of the fence. And they're going to work their way through, and they'll be delivered to their destination. Are you sure? It's not a first class round trip ticket. It's a one way, very modest trip, one way ticket. And they range in price from, you know, $3,000 to $10,000-$15,000. Depends on who it is and where they want to go. And so people are paid off all along the way. So that's problem number one. We can talk about border security till we're blue in the face. I like talking about it. I mean, it makes me think of Egyptian pyramid building or something. Lots and lots of people. Maybe we could use prisoners or something like that. Send them all to Texas and South America. Not South America, but the southern states And you know, let's build some sort of a structure that keeps people out. I'm all for the technology. I've said in the past, I like the concept of drones. I can see a drone operated all totally independently, just perched out in the middle of the desert. Sensor goes off, it activates, launches, flies, sends GPS coordinates, you know, to home base, and you know, dispatched border patrol agents to pick them up. It's going to be really nice to have all these things in place, but none of that matters if the people who are operating the program are looking the other way. If you send the border agents and the border agents go and they pick up some and they let some go because they were paid off, and nobody knows any different, it's still going to happen. Our border agents, I mean, this really is the this is our perimeter. This is our first line of defense. And the people who want to kill us, our enemies, can already penetrate with no problems. So these five were caught today. How many have come through that have not been caught? Where are they? Where are they hiding out? This, to me, leads to the ultimate question of identifying those who are here, identifying people who may be undocumented, who may be here illegally. We have to know, we have to filter the good from the bad. That's why I've always said I cannot accept the argument that you cannot figure out what to do with those here illegally until and after you secure the border. That is an obvious kicking of the can. That is leaning, that's Charlie Brown kicking of the can to say that we can't do both of those. We can't figure out one while we're doing the other. We can't talk about one. It's like that one movie, the thing we don't speak of. Speaking on this issue is, you know, I've been doing it for a while, but I always talk to different people. I get different opinions. I don't know anyone who's against a border, a secure border. I haven't talked to anyone who has an issue with a strong, secure, high-tech fence or border. But what happens if they don't stop? What happens if, you know, they run or they somehow can break through our perimeters? What if the, well, I guess we can say ISIS in itself is a military, and it seems to me like their military is moving right through our southern border, and it's happening right under our noses. I don't ever remember a time in my life, but I know that it's in the past has happened, where you really needed to know who was who. You really needed to know the good guys from the bad guys. How is our future in America going to look? Are we going to be on the side that rushes to say that we need to eliminate all mosques and outlaw Islam? Or surely we're not going to act like President Obama is acting and not even acknowledge that the issues that are happening are because of Islamic extremists and terrorism. Well, the terror is definitely set. They've accomplished that facet of their game plan. They have to be able to strike fear, more so than casualties. Casualties help increase the fear level, but it's all about the fear. And before long, what happens is you don't retaliate, you don't strike back, you don't, you start to look the other way. I was watching some footage of Dearborn, Michigan. I would love to get some callers from that area to call in and share your thoughts on what's going on in your neck of the woods. But what it looked like to me, you ever see the footage when the Twin Towers were knocked down? They were filming the people in the Middle East, and their joy and elation as they were hollering and screaming, "Allah, Allahu Akbar." I think that's how you say that. They were just so happy that they had struck us and they had killed Americans. It's inevitable, folks. I'm pretty sure, I feel pretty certain that we are in the era of anytime, any place, bombings, murders, you name it, hijackings. And we want to act like we can't filter out the good from the bad, those who are here illegally. We got to know. We got to know, and we have to allow people to document themselves, to put themselves in a program to separate themselves from the bad ones. In that kind of situation, the only ones that are going to come out of the shadows are the ones who have been living right. The ones who have not been living right could care less, and they're always going to stay in the shadows. As far as I'm concerned, anyone who's still in the shadows after a documentation program has been implemented, you're fair game. I think your name and last known whereabouts should be put on a public list. I think if there were individual bounty hunters who wanted to locate those people and pick them up and turn them into ISIS, or not ISIS, ICE or local county law enforcement, that they should do that and be compensated for it. There will need to be a hunt for these people. And I won't have any sympathy for them or their family members. And I don't think anyone else will have sympathy for them either. But before we can get to this position of a hard line stance, we've got to do the right thing and allow those people who are still undocumented and somewhat fearful of being caught, discovered, but living right. Those guys, those men, those women, those families, I want to find a way to help those people. Everyone else, the criminals, these terrorists coming in through our weak border, We got to find them. We got to know who they are, where they are, and we've got to allocate the funds to find those people. The thing that I don't get, I talk to my wife a lot about politics. We watch the news, and she asks different questions about, why does this happen, or why are these refugees? They're all men. Where are the women? Where are the children? We talk about the ratio of Muslim refugees versus Christian refugees. I look at it even from a simpler position and just say, the geographic location, why is America even raising our hand to take refugees? You've got countries in the Middle East that are Muslim nations that are absolutely 100% fully capable of taking on these refugees. So why are they coming here? Why? I don't get it. But it looks like we have a caller. I think this is my friend Frank from here in Texas calling in. We'll see. Frank, is that you?
It is, Duke.
Aha.
I had to call in on this one. I think we all know the truth. I think that we don't want to admit it. I think we'd like to pretend it's not happening, but the fact is that we are being infiltrated. We are, and whether it's that one day it's going to be a violent overthrow, or it's just going to gradually happen over 15, 20 years that we're going to be bombarded with all kinds of regulations and stuff and behavior that we're supposed to do and the tolerance that we're supposed to have and how we're not supposed to offend people. These are things that are already happening if you look around. They're telling us what to eat, what we can talk about, this and that in the schools and so it's already started. It's sad, but it's already started. Now the question is, are we going to stop it? And we can't stop it. And as a Christian, this is fearful to me and for my family. I fear for my family, and I think that a lot of other Christians out of fear for their family, because these are not people. The Sharia. And the ideology of the Muslim faith is not compatible with the Constitution of the United States. Not compatible to freedom. They don't understand freedom. They don't understand letting people live their way and you live yours. It's just the very language that is used in their everyday life shows that they're not going to tolerate Christians. They're not going to tolerate any other way of life but what they deem. It's very, very frightening to me,
It's frustrating.
We Christians are going to have to, they're using our tolerance and compassion against us to manipulate us. They say, well, you don't want that. The president said you're afraid of 3-year-olds. No, we're not afraid of 3-year-olds, but we are afraid of a lot of 25-year-olds.
I mean, I kind of every time I hear our president talk, I kind of feel like he's on their side, not our side.
How can you see it any other way? Just listen to what he says. When he puts the safety of other people. How come nobody went to Rwanda when they were killing Christians? And how come nobody went to Syria when they were killing Christians? And how come those Christians ain't being allowed to come over here and be refugees? Why just Muslims? And there have been several people have said that they're not letting in Christians, very few, and they're only letting in Muslims. Now, you got to ask yourself, what is this? It certainly is not, doesn't make any sense. Am I supposed to sacrifice my family and you, your family, just for other people? My responsibility is my family first.
Yeah.
And I think you feel the same. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know. And, you know, I'm glad we live in a state where our governor is standing up and saying they're not coming here. But, I mean, I don't know. I look at what the president will do, and he doesn't care what Governor Abbott says. He's going to put him where he wants to put him. Watch me.
I know, but the thing about it is that we Christians can do something about this. We can shut down the universities. We can quit going to football games. We can quit making people who are backing these people up. We can quit going to movies. Okay? We can quit spending our money with people who are not friendly to this country. And when these people, the movie stars who are so behind all this, and all these other people who are speaking against America, when these people's money starts fading away, I promise you they'll get a different attitude. When those professors are out on their keisters, you know, because they don't have a job anymore, you know, they're reaping what they sowed. These students are coming after them. And the coaches, just to keep playing football and stuff like that, are willing to sacrifice everybody else just so they can continue their sports. And I guarantee you these students are not going to be satisfied. They're going to come after the coaches too eventually. This is not about anything except disrupting this country. It's about costing us money, disrupting this country, and causing chaos. You can't look at it.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying you can't look at it any other way. Any rational, reasonable person can just look at what's in front of them and see this. And we the answer is in the hands of Christians. When Jesus said to be tolerant of others, he was not talking. He was talking about their ignorance, that they didn't know any better. Better be tolerant of their ignorance, knowing they didn't know, they don't know any better. But he never said to be tolerant of their evil, never. And where we got this idea that we're supposed to be a bunch of broken down old peacenicks, and we're not. The scriptures tell us that a man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. That comes out of the scriptures. And that providing means food, shelter, and protection. All the other Christian men in this country allow this stuff to go on. We are not protecting our family. And we're going to be held responsible.
But we would be, you know, what I think is going to happen, and I've kind of been thinking this for a while, but before long, there will be vigilantism. There
we
are
don't
going
have
to be
vigilant.
Well, no, vigilantes.
Pull your
money. There's going to be people taking the law into their own hands. There's going to be people and organizations and groups that are saying, you know what, the government's not handling it, we're going to handle it. Kind of like the Minutemen have done, times 10. You know,
well,
it's going to happen if these people continue to tease and rattle the cage and do all these things to Americans. That they don't know what Americans are capable of. And I do feel like there could be very harsh period in America for
there is going to be a harsh
Islam
period.
The whole Islamic faith period.
Yeah, it's not compatible with American way of life. Any way you cut it. The only reason that we haven't had any trouble so far, as much as we could have, was because there wasn't enough of them. But now there is. They're growing. You know, they're having 10, 12 kids to a family compared to our one and two. Just by the numbers, they will overrun this country. That's what they've done in Germany. That's what they're doing in England, you know. And they got their little areas, and you know, the police are not even able to go into those areas, those Muslim areas. And just there's just this is a plan. Can we put a stop to it? Yes, we can. But we're going to have to do it. So I don't believe in a violent necessity. I do not want that. But I tell you what, you'd start taking that money away, Duke. You start pulling your money, and Christians start spending their money with Christians. Christians start spending their money somewhere else besides these colleges and these universities and the movie theaters and the athletic pro games and stuff like that. We stop that, spending our money with a Christian friendly. And I don't mean that I'm against anybody's religion. I don't have a problem with Hindus. You know, I've never had a problem with a Hindu. Never. Or Shinto.
Yeah, that's the real religion of peace. They don't want to hurt anybody because they are not even a grasshopper or a blade of grass.
Yeah, or Sikhs. I've never met a Sikh that I was scared of, or a Hindu, or a Shinto, or any of those. I'm not afraid of any of them. I don't feel any discomfort. But when you see the Muslim world has never brought, for 1,500 years, it has brought nothing but misery wherever it goes. It has
well,
not.
You know, I was watching a video of an event that was taking place in Michigan, and it reminded me of the footage of, you know, the Middle East when, you know, the anger when they're having their revolts and things, but it was in Michigan. It wasn't all the way around on the other side of the world. It was right here in Michigan, and the same mindset, same anger, hatred was visible and alive in Michigan.
Well, they hate the West. They've always hated the West. Read what they did in Spain. Read what they've done everywhere they go. They just bring nothing but chaos and hell. And they want to make us all dhimmis, you know. And dhimmis,
yeah,
are people who pay a tribute to the Muslims. And I really just want to get off the phone right now, because I'm telling you, it really upsets me. You know, and people need to wake up. They think it's going away. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, and I know there are some good people out there who practice the Islamic faith, and they're not wrapped up in all of the craziness. But, you know, we don't hear enough from them. I've had one guest. He's been on a few times. He'll be on again tomorrow night with us, Dr. David Walalu. But aside from him, they're pretty much non-existent. But hey, Frank, I do appreciate you calling in tonight and joining in this conversation.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. This is Duke Machado, and you're listening to The Duke Machado Show. You can find me on Facebook, The Duke Machado Show. Follow me on Twitter, @DukeMachado1. We're out of here.